You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
This is Joe Caramagna, writer and letterer at Marvel Comics, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
And welcome to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. I'm your host, Mike, and on the other side of the table is Ken. How are you doing today, Ken?
I'm doing great. How are you? And I hope everybody out there is doing good, too.
Well, I guess this could sum it up for me.
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra! Exactly.
Since that's been the big thing.
We've been working for Hydra all this time.
Apparently so.
Jarvis. Oh, Jarvis. You think Jarvis knew?
You have no overrides to access this area.
Oh, son of a gun.
So, speaking of Captain America, opening weekend, wow.
That didn't do too bad at all. Matter of fact, it was up 14% the opening day of it was up 14% from Thor and 44% from the first Captain America, which made the debut was $37 million in one day.
But for the weekend, it took April record, $96.2 million.
Yeah, something like that. So, a lot of money.
A lot of money.
But domestically, or as of April 16th, it has made $170.5 million. Domestically,
wow. Well, foreign, that
worldwide. For foreign is $335.2 million, so a total of $505.7 million.
Wow.
Dollars.
So big, very big weekend for 2 weeks ago for Winter Soldier, and yeah, this past weekend just taking that even further. So congrats to the crew over at Marvel Studios.
Kicking some butt with that.
Oh, yeah. So,
You haven't seen it yet, have you, Mike? Shame.
No, I have not.
Shame. Shame on you.
Well, one, it's been busy, and two, having a kid, trying to find daycare, or not daycare, a babysitter.
You can add the $8 to that $505 million.
True. $16.
Well, depends what you go to. Well, if you take the family, yeah.
I'm taking the wife, yep.
Don't go to the dine-in one, because that will set you back like $50 after said and done.
Oh, yeah. For those who aren't aware, AMC Theaters at Downtown Disney has Fork and Dine. So
I can never remember Fork and Dine. I always want to say Wine and Dine or something like that.
So what you do is you book your reservation. It's a reservation.
That's what I like about it. You get your own seat. You can pick your own seat on the website.
And the food's actually fairly decent.
It's all right. It's just expensive.
Yes.
My friend and I went. My friend Jose and I went, and I think the bill ended up being like $50-something.
Wow.
Because tickets are like $15.
Yeah.
Itself, just for the, you know.
So, Disney Infinity put out a teaser video.
Yeah.
It was Cap's shield bouncing around. So Marvel is coming to Disney Infinity.
2.0.
What do you know about that?
Well, I know that it is debuting in August and will include the series, first round of characters from the Marvel Universe. The summer launch date for the sequel come exactly 12 months from the original game's launch.
Very cool.
So there's no word on how much a Disney Infinity might cost. Well, 2.0, we're talking 2.0 here, might cost, or what form it might arrive in. Presumably a whole new game rather than just an expansion pack, but it's all assumptions. And they're also assuming, will all the existing figures work with it? They don't know. There's no news of that out. So
it'd be a shame. It'd be a shame if the old figures don't work with it.
Yeah, it would be kind of lame, wouldn't it? There's also the possibility of Marvel and Star Wars characters. They were previously hinted at in a marketing survey for the sequel of Disney Infinity. The original Disney Infinity even included a Star Wars-themed Easter egg.
Right.
You buy all 29 of the game's figures and you're gifted a lightsaber.
That's cool.
Yeah, can you see? That's the word on that.
Can you see Lightning McQueen with a lightsaber?
No. How would that work? It's gonna.
Don't know.
Put it in.
But it'd be cool if that Easter egg or once you've unlocked that Easter egg, if the other characters do work with the game.
I think they would really botch it. I mean, for them, money-wise, it's probably a good idea. You have to buy all new characters, but I don't think the parents would be too happy and the kids won't be too happy that they can't use their figures on a new.
Yeah, that. Enemy. I think that would totally bite. If they're keeping to the whole Skylander type basis, I mean, all the newer, you know, Skylander's gone through expansion on its own, and, you know, and there's newer games, but the old figures still work with the current stuff.
Yeah, that's so. I hope it's like that. That would be a bad move.
Could you imagine the Hulk with a lightsaber?
Hulk needs no lightsaber.
So, story from the world of Sony and Fox. Fox
two,
is...
Bromance, right?
Just about. Sony and the... it's been leaked that Sony and The Amazing Spider-Man 2 in credits has a teaser scene, which is essentially the trailer for X-Men Days of Future Past.
Right.
So a lot of the speculation was, and you probably heard me say it on the segment for WDW TQ Room, that could this lead to more cross-promoting of the franchises? Could this lead to maybe Marvel Studios getting involved? And what could we eventually have? Infinity Gauntlet?
You want me to give you the quick answer to that?
No.
No, that would be the quick answer. Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, unfortunately.
I mean, as far as them doing the clip and stuff, you know, they could make an advertising deal, but I won't go any further than that.
Well, when I reported everything for my segment for Tiki Room, all I knew is the information. The trailer was shown in the end credits for the UK release.
Right.
And then it got verified. Then it got verified that it's being shown as part of other international territories as well, and it was confirmed that it will happen on the US screenings.
Ah, okay.
Well, story behind all that.
Yeah.
When Mark Webb...
It is revealed.
when Mark Webb left what was no negotiating between the two studios, or when they were negotiating to get him on Amazing Spider-Man 2, he was under a contract with Fox Searchlight to direct another film.
Right.
Following Days of Summer.
500 Days of Summer, yeah.
Right. Reportedly, Fox allowed Webb to return for Amazing Spider-Man 2 under the one condition that Sony agreed to promote Days of Future Past for free.
I see. So it was a promotion deal. That was it. A one-shot promotion deal is what you're talking about.
A one-shot promotion deal. So we're talking what? That's over $500,000 of free advertising right there.
Yeah.
Minimum.
It sucks that there's all of this, and I'm sure everybody will agree that we have these big companies that have these movies, and the big companies won't talk to each other about getting characters together because they want to have, you know,
their own shake of the pie.
I don't want to say what I'm thinking, but you know, a blank contest with each other.
Yep.
And it just sucks for the fans. It sucks, you know, because we all want to see some crossovers, which would be pretty good.
I mean, just the whole concept of instead of, you know, still keeping your Avengers movies, still keeping all your others.
I mean, amazing. Spider-Man comes in the Avengers? I mean, come on.
Oh, come on. You got the chance to play out Civil War. You got a chance to play out Infinity Gauntlet. You got... At this point in time, you could even pull out... what was the old one from back in the day that introduced Venom? Was that Secret War?
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars. I mean, there's so much...
Secret Wars 2, I believe it was.
Still, it was that whole thing. You know, Secret Wars was being competitive to DC Comics, Infinity Crisis. Infinite Crisis.
Have the Beyonder.
Yep.
Come on.
So, while hopes were high, I think there's a major ball being dropped on this one. Now, what hopes there could have been, but maybe it's still gonna come true. You know, if they already negotiated to promote for free just to get the director, maybe you could get the two.
Talking or doing some bartering, Mike.
If you take it where all three. Now, all three studios take a third of the profits. I think the profits are going to be pretty big. And of course, all three are going to have to split cost as well. I think it's going to be a pretty big deal for that one shot. Yeah, if you try it as a one shot first, such as Infinity Crisis. Oh,
Gauntlet,
Lord.
You mean,
or Infinity Gauntlet.
You hit the wrong
company.
Wrong company there.
I think that would really up the ante. And I think you're going to see some box office numbers that won't be touched for quite some time.
Yeah, but, you know, you're talking... It's selfish.
Yeah.
They're never going to do it.
Yeah, because I think one-third of the profit for something like Infinity Gauntlet,
I mean,
it's still going to give each studio Avengers-like money.
Yeah,
and then some.
Obviously, we know that Fox and Sony cannot pull the numbers that Marvel's pulling.
No.
So, if you put those three together, who would have control? You know, who would be doing the story? You know, there's just a lot of what-ifs in that.
If they were smart, they would allow Marvel Studios to keep the story. And Fox and Sony just take the money and run.
Or Marvel just says, hey, we'll give you this much money to buy our characters back. Thank you. See you later.
Or if they won't give them back, you just say, fine. We want to do something like Infinity Gauntlet. You're all going to get a third of the profits. It's going to be a three-way split. And trust us, the money's going to be bigger per studio than what we made on Avengers.
And have Marvel rent the rights to their own character. To put in their movie, hey, let us use the character Spider-Man, we'll give you a third of the profit or half.
Hey, at this point in time, possibly. Why not? I mean,
we're talking though, it would be an ensemble movie. Spider-Man would not be allowed to appear in a solo film by Marvel. If you say, hey, we want to use Spider-Man in the Avengers.
It would have to be an ensemble.
Right. Well, that will pay you blah, blah, blah percent for allowing us to have him in this movie. Think about that.
Well, supposedly characters of Fantastic Four were hinted at in the Avengers. Supposedly the kid that was wearing the blue shirt was supposed, during one of the battle scenes, was Franklin Richards.
And their son.
Yeah. So, and supposedly the woman who grabbed him was Sue Richards. Speculation, but obviously it's not going to be the same as what's coming out with
not going to be the same.
So yeah, that's the continuation of the story from Tiki Room. It's not what we thought it was going to be. So our hopes and speculations gone kaput. So, but good news TV wise, Marvel's Agent Carter TV show seems like it's going to go straight to series.
Got a full order, though.
No pilot, no need for a pilot. It's going straight to 13 episodes.
It's surprising because they haven't said whether they're going to renew Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a second season or not yet, and they're going to green light this already. Complete, straight out, green light it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny. The Turn episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. drew, of course, it's the show immediately after Captain America, drew a 1.9.
Wow. That's terrible.
I don't know what this week's was.
Mm-hmm. That number's probably haven't come out yet.
They might be out. I haven't checked. I haven't gotten onto Wikipedia to take a look. But
here, you talk to the audience. I'm gonna look.
But getting back on the Agent Carter, the project started off as a one shot, which was originally featured on the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray, as we all know. Mm-hmm. There was talk of regarding a possible series, but a green light on the show's pilot never came, and the project's fate seemed to be up in the air. Now, we talked about this in earlier episodes, that, here was the game plans, here was everything else.
I got a number for you.
Okay, so
are we talking
providence?
The rating?
Just the rating.
Last week was 1.9, you said.
Right.
This week was 2.0.
So it went up briefly. So they're staying consistent.
5%. It went up 5%.
So they're staying consistently between the 2.1 to 1.8 range.
Yeah, which is not great.
It's not great, but I mean,
not a show of that magnitude.
But it's consistent.
I mean, two is not too bad. It could be like celebrity wife swap, which is getting one.
True. True.
Supernatural 0.8. The original 0.6. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. It's not too bad. Oh, that I'm sorry. That was a rating between the ages of 18 and 49. Isn't that everything?
Pretty much. But now, I guess it seems ABC has plans for Agent Carter. After all, hoping it could fill in time when the second season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes on hiatus. So the weeks we don't have S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be Agent Carter.
They're assuming that there's going to be a second season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
See, I don't like this idea. If S.H.I.E.L.D. takes a two-week break, it's going to be filled in with two episodes of Agent Carter. Mm-hmm. No, if you're going to do it, do the 13 series, mid-season add-in, mid-season premiere, and let it run the 13 episodes.
So they're going to do one episode here, then 3 weeks later, the second episode.
You're going to lose audience.
Are they trying to kill the audience?
I have no clue.
That doesn't seem very smart to me.
No. But like you said, we still don't know if S.H.I.E.L.D.'s got another season coming or not.
Right. Yeah, we don't.
So,
oh, my.
Oh.
I have a cat. Oh. She just knocked something over.
So, but obviously, with the events of Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and how that's going to lead into the events of Age of Ultron, despite the ratings, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. needs to stay to help set up Age of Ultron.
Do you think it's needed, though? I mean, really?
Considering it's, at this point in time, it is 1 year before...
Or do you think it is necessary since it's been set that there is no more S.H.I.E.L.D.? So now the TV show is going to carry on. Okay, there's no more S.H.I.E.L.D. until we get to the next movie.
It's got to carry it through.
Now, do you think them ordering Agents of Carter like this so quick is because of S.H.I.E.L.D. is struggling, you think?
I think so.
But it's not going to really... Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because you're bringing an entirely different element to the show.
Yeah.
Or to the universe by bringing in Agent Carter.
Right. It's going to be... Yeah, it's a whole different era and... Should be... I'm kind of interested in it.
So we'll see what happens when the upfronts come out with the next, couple months, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. And, of course, with the start date for production on Daredevil, the Netflix series, coming up here soon, there is a speculation of who's going to be playing the man behind the mask himself.
Yeah.
Which, so
I like the pick.
The first draft pick is James Wolk, who has been on the CBS sitcom The Crazy Ones, he's also done work on Mad Men as Bob Benson. So there's quite a possibility there.
Don't see it.
Look-wise, kinda, maybe. Second choice is Chris O'Dowd. They consider him a dark horse.
He was in Thor Dark World.
True.
As Jane Foster's terrible date.
But they also say, too, that this Irish actor would definitely bring a lighter touch to the Irish-American superhero. A touch that would feel right in line with more of the happy-go-lucky aspects of Mark Waid's recent run with the character.
I'm just waiting for you to get to my choice because I just don't... It would be so awesome if he became Daredevil, that's all I gotta say.
Are you thinking... Mahershala Ali?
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking. Yeah, that's him.
Hey, it would be an interesting twist going with a black actor for this role.
No comment. To the next
one. I mean, is it necessary, though?
No.
I mean, throwing him in there, is it... You know, why would they bring it up? How would the fans react to?
I think it would be the same way they got that Fantastic Four was, that Johnny Storm, the whole thing with that. I think it would be the same reaction, and it's not racist. Believe me, it's not racist. It's just they see their character in the comics they read for so many years.
Right.
And they get to know this character in the book, and then, you know, they want somebody that can portray that character on the big screen or small screen, that they go, yes, this is the person that I was thinking of if it ever came onto the screen.
Right.
And I think that's what it relies. It has nothing to do with race.
Okay. Next choice is Jesse Plemons. Of course, we know him from the show Friday Night Lights. He was also on Breaking Bad. I believe he was Walter's son on Breaking Bad.
No, he was Walter's son. I don't know who he was.
He has something to do. I know he was. He had a major role in Breaking Bad. They're saying, or the scouting report, the guy's got the necessary range to portray Daredevil, And this is incredibly important for some fans. He's got the right hair color. Me, personally, I think this is the best pick, and that's Michael C. Hall.
That's my pick, too. Boom, that's all I had to say was his name, and I'm like, yeah, me at Michael C. The Angel Lights came on. Oh!
Yeah, he's from 6 Feet Under. He's from Dexter. He pretty much has every trait needed to play Matt Murdock on the small screen.
Look at Matt Murdock. Look at Michael C. Hall.
If you're worried that much about hair color, there's always hair dye. Always hair dye. So,
he would be amazing as Daredevil.
So let us know who your idea is for this. Give us a shout at show@weebiegeeks.net.
Terry Crews.
No, Luke Cage. He's up for Luke Cage.
Oh, not Daredevil?
Not Daredevil. He's the best choice for Luke Cage. And we've already covered that in depth.
Yes, we have.
So give us a shout on Twitter, on Facebook. On Facebook, you can find us at Mighty Marvel Geeks. On Twitter, either hit us up at Marvel Geeks or K.A. Marcy.
Yes, sir.
And let us know who you think would be the best choice for Daredevil. And as we get responses, we will report it back. So, other than that, I've got a clip, small clip, from Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
This week's episode?
Episode coming up next week.
Sorry.
It's a little preview. So, just to kind of help keep the spoilers from happening from Captain America, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the last couple weeks, I'm just going to give you this little teaser.
Need you guys to answer a few questions. A few psychoanalytic non sequitur questions.
A lie detector.
The lie detector, Agent Coulson. This baby measures galvanic skin response, oxygen consumption, micro expressions, biofeedback, brain waves, pupil dilation, voice, biometrics. 96 variables in all. Fury designed this himself. He wanted a lie detector Romanoff couldn't beat.
Did she?
Like Fury would tell.
Okay. Sooner we get this done, sooner we can get to work. So who wants to go first?
New Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Tuesday at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
So we're up against a break, and we'll talk about this clip when we come back. You're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio.
The new sound of Sorcerer Radio, version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app, version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices, as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio,
your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and find new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at meetthemagic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That ride was scary.
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
So, I think I have everything. Shoes, hat, sunscreen, phone, tickets. Oh, okay, there they are. There's one more thing.
And if you're planning that long-awaited trip to Disney World, we have got the tips for you.
Ah, there it is. Can't leave without hearing the latest Disney trip tips before my Disney vacation.
Disney trip tips, Friday at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites mixed in with some of today's best music. And tips on visiting Walt Disney World. Disney trip tips, Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. It is Mike and Ken.
Hi.
As we usually do, and so that clip, it is the preview for next week's episode.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Patton Oswalt.
Yes. I love the character. I loved his character when it debuted this past week. For those who do know, and been keeping up, spoiler alert, Ward right now is a Hydra agent that's undercover, or turncoat, whatever. Being a double agent, so to speak. So this lie detector, is he gonna be able to beat it? Is he gonna be able to not get ratted out by it? Don't know. But it's funny how this past week's episode and in this preview they bring up Black Widow. So could we potentially see Black Widow an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if not this season, next season? What are your thoughts on that?
I hope they do something. I mean, so especially if they don't need somebody like, you know, as big as Captain America coming on or whatever like that. You know, they could get by with, I wouldn't say she's a smaller character, but a character that's not really like a huge superhero like Captain America.
Right.
Well, we need a little something, you know. Put Hawkeye in there, for crying out loud. He wasn't in Captain America.
Right. Well, we know Mara Hill's coming back.
Yeah.
Because Colby Smulders is down with How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. We know Fury's making an appearance in the last episode. I would hope we see Black Widow. I mean, she is a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Mm-hmm.
Cap is, but he isn't, so to speak.
Not like Black Widow, no.
Right. So it'd be fun to see her show up. I mean, I know she's pregnant, but even if they put her in like a desk job or did the creative covering,
stand behind a counter.
Yeah. Yeah, something. So, why don't we get into
Gotcha.
how about our picks for it's going to be for New Comic Book Day on Wednesday, April 23rd.
Yep.
What do you have for your first pick?
My first pick is Elektra number one.
Okay.
And the description is, witness the beautifully violent return of the world's deadliest assassin. A life spent in silent pain has led Elektra to the precipice of despair. As she prepares to shed her past and take her next step, everything you know about her will change. Death is no escape, but she will find a way as a new option opens up that will take Elektra to places no other Marvel character can go.
So it's the movie adaptation?
I don't know.
Sorry. Yeah.
But I don't think that's an adaptation of anything.
Great character, bad movie.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, we have the rights to that. Marvel Studios has the rights for that, since it's part of the Daredevil universe.
Right.
So, well, I went for my first pick, Guardians of the Galaxy number 14. It's the 100th issue anniversary celebration. 45 years in the making, it's finally here. The 100th issue of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, actually, it's 101st. But, you know, of course, you know, Marvel had that X-Men crossover to get through. It's an all-star celebration of all the most popular super team of 2014 as the Cosmic Captain Brian Michael Bendis welcomes Nick Bradshaw to the team as the Guardians of the Galaxy get ready for new members Venom and Captain Marvel. There are unexpected dangers in that promise to tear the team to its core. Plus, in this special double-sized anniversary issue, two special backup stories by former Guardians of the Galaxy writers Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning.
My number two pick. Go and stay with the Daredevil theme. It's Daredevil number two. I like it because Mark Wade is the writer of it, and I like his writing. It says Daredevil is in over his head in his new hometown, which isn't at all as he remembers it. New threats, new obstacles, and a forgotten Marvel hero steps from the shadows to make him feel most unwelcome.
Okay.
And your number two pick, Michael?
Marvel Universe Ultimate Spider-Man number 25. Of course, written by Joe Caramagna, who we had on the show last week. The evil Scorpio and the super army Zodiac have taken over the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier and set it to self-destruct. Spider-Man and Fury must put their differences aside and fight the new menace as a team.
Very cool.
So, your number three pick.
Number three pick, I'm going to stick with it because I've picked it before. Is George Romero's Empire of the Dead Act 1. Welcome to New York, years after the eruption of an undead plague, a city not only teeming with zombies but also ruled by a vampire. Who is the ultimate wild card? The undead gladiator Zanzibar, the former cop known only as X, or the southern firecracker called Dixie Peach? Plus, it's a terrorizing team-up in variant cover form when zombie godfather George Romero unites with zombie king Arthur Soydam. Didn't they say that every time they do a preview it says the same thing?
Pretty much.
That's why I didn't read the first part of it.
My first pick, or
third
first pick. Third pick.
This would be
wow.
Third pick.
It's been a week, folks. It's been a week. Uncanny Avengers number 19. Again, this is a book that is in my pull list. I consistently get it. It's a great book. Great title. It's written by Rick Remender. Cover artist is Daniel Acuna. Avenge the Earth continues. Kang's Chronocore arrives on Planet X with a terrible offer. The former members of the Uncanny Avengers must reunite to save the Earth. Magneto's all-new X-Force are out for blood, or out for the blood of a Summers. So, there you have it. It was Guardians of the Galaxy number 14, Elektra number 1, Daredevil number 2, Marvel Universe Ultimate Spider-Man number 25, Empire of the Dead number 4, and Uncanny Avengers number 19. Go check those out. on April 23rd at your local comic book shop or on the Marvel Comics app, hosted by Comicology at the moment. Which
didn't somebody just buy out Comicology?
Amazon. And you could go hear Marty and myself from Weeby Geeks talk about that on the latest episode of Weeby Geeks. So, shameless plug. Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, they're saying it's going to be connected to the Avengers 3.
Right, yeah. The director admitted it.
Yeah.
So they're definitely connected to it. It was in this week's EW.
The link may be Thanos, the main villain in Guardians, who killed the families of Gamora and Nebula and raised the pair as siblings. Thanos appeared at the end of the Avengers. And the writer-artist Jim Starling said last year that he will be featured in the Avengers sequel, Age of Ultron. So Thanos, one of the last sons of the original colonists, Mentor, and Susan, could very well be the baddie in the franchise's third installment.
Which probably will be after we've had two of the Infinity Gauntlets, right?
Correct.
Infinity Stones, I'm sorry.
Right.
Which were the Tesseract, which is the people who don't know, the glowing blue cube from the Avengers, and the Aether, the red particle cloud from Thor: The Dark World.
Correct.
And if you remember, one of them appeared also in Guardians of the Galaxy, from the Guardians of the Galaxy villain, sorry, the Collector, in the end of Dark World.
Correct.
So there's that tie in there.
So we'll be curious to see if Avengers 3 will be more Infinity Gauntlet or some other storyline involving Thanos.
Yeah.
Exciting. Yeah, but Marvel has been talking about another one-shot that Matt Gerald, who is being cast as a villain in Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was precursored in the All Hail the King one-shot from, it was from what, the Thor Blu-ray?
Was it the Thor Blu-ray? No, it was Iron Man, wasn't it?
No, Iron Man 3 was Agent Carter.
Okay, yeah.
This is from the Thor.
Yeah, Thor, it has the, is that the Mandarin in it?
Yes. Okay. All Hail the King, not the Mandarin. So supposedly they pulled Matt Gerald from that one shot to play one of the villains in Ant-Man, or the villain in Ant-Man.
Right.
So that'll be interesting to see how that one pulls off. Yeah, so,
it'll be pretty interesting to see what villain he's going to be.
Sure. Now, we know starting 2015, things are going to get real interesting between Marvel and Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm. A lot interesting.
Was it that magic date right now is May 6, 2016.
Yeah.
You got Batman versus Superman and Captain America 3.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to back down first? I don't see Marvel backing down.
Marvel's definitely not going to back down. They right now, they have the power.
So
they have all the power right now.
And of course, Marvel has a 14-year movie plan that,
2028.
If I was Warner Brothers, I'd be trying to figure out how do you break this? How do you shake up?
How do you compete? Stand up to it? Yeah, exactly.
How do you compete? Captain America, the Winter Soldier, like we talked about, has grossed more than $480 million in a global box office after 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's $500 now.
That's why I specified more than $480 million. The film is both the second in the projected trilogy and the ninth in a series dubbed the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which was started with 2008's Iron Man.
At this point, Warner Brothers would have to jump in midstream here. You know, they can't, like, to compete.
Yeah.
They can't start like Marvel has started.
If they do, they're going to have to ramp movies out quicker than what they've done, just to get caught up.
They haven't been ramping out very good movies, though.
Well, they haven't even ramped out the second film, for the start of the DC Cinematic Universe, which supposedly started with Man of Steel.
Which wasn't that great of a movie.
I enjoyed it.
Moon's good, but it just turned a lot of people off.
It didn't turn me off, but I mean, that's a different company, so we won't discuss that. Obviously, there's two different strategies here. One facet that makes the Marvel movie stand out is the films are interconnected by name, mm-hmm. you know, and that has been a great selling point general. You know, Marvel has such a rich gallery of characters and a huge library of stories that it's easy to pull stories from all the way through to 2028.
And now after all this with the second Captain America, what makes it more interesting was Hulk, Thor, Iron Man. You know, they were effectively bowing to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And now that's all done.
Right, and like we discussed last week with Joe, or Joe Caramanga, is where can they go next with, like, Cap 3? I mean, there's so many storylines you could go with. You could go with the 1950s Cap. You could go with Reborn. Could you possibly go Red Menace? I mean, there's a lot there. Do you start leading into Civil War?
Because there's no real
S.H.I.E.L.D.
There's no S.H.I.E.L.D. It's guiding them anymore.
Exactly.
You know, and they've cut the cord.
Exactly. Whereas Warner Brothers, they seem unmoved. They seemed satisfied with the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, which the only two films realistically they should be pleased with is Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Third one will hold something.
And the only reason why they should be pleased with The Dark Knight is
Heath Ledger's
Joker. Because I'll say it right now, Two-Face was weak. It was just weak.
Since we're a Marvel show, maybe we should.
Now they have, just for the comparison, Warner Brothers CEO Kevin.
I'm not even going to attempt to say.
Susahara.
Susahara.
Has paid lip service to an impending Justice League movie uniting several DC superhero characters.
I'll believe it when I see it.
And has shown commitment to producing more DC-based television shows.
Which we know that's happening.
So we got Arrow, we got The Flash.
And we got the Gotham.
You got Gotham. Well, Marvel's caught S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which actually, Arrow is doing is pretty decent,
Arrow's what S.H.I.E.L.D. wants to be.
Yeah.
But you got Agent Carter potentially coming down the road.
And then Netflix deals.
You got the Netflix deals, which is setting up a whole other team with the Defenders, which, even with the Defenders, if there is a Doctor Strange movie, you could have him as a go-between both the Avengers and the Defenders. So he could make an appearance in this TV series, which would be a smart move on Marvel's part, to have the same Doc Strange show up in the TV show, or the Netflix show.
Yeah.
And in the Avengers. I guess another point in favor of Marvel is the Marvel heroes are global. They're very global. They have very global reach, which is quite obvious. Another argument you got is Captain America sparkles while Batman and Superman brood.
Sparkles. I don't think I like that.
I don't like that word sparkles. I don't like the phrasing either.
It's just I consider him like an American hero type of guy.
True.
Not sparkles. What was this? Twilight?
Oh, please. No. No. Now the question comes up, do Marvel superheroes kill? Of course they do. Usually in war. You know, Captain America shoots Germans, Thor smashes frost giants, the Avengers wiped out a whole lot of invading aliens along with half of New York. So why does Marvel get a pass? Well, it all boils down to the tone of the characters. Steve Rogers' explanation when asked if he wants to kill Nazis was, I don't want to kill anybody, I just don't like bullies.
Yeah.
You know, coming from when he used to be a scrawny guy. Whereas Warner Brothers, its darker, more mature tone, has been leaving a sour taste in the fans' mouths for a while. When the filmmakers just get to indulge in a moral ambiguity and a more frighteningly resonant type of disaster.
Yeah. I mean, it strays a lot more farther away from the comic book source material than Marvel tends to do as well.
Correct. Old school versus new school. The approach has kept licensing and merchandising around Disney, the DC movie properties, a lot less profitable than Marvel Disney, whose global licensed merchandise averages over $6 billion with a B, per year. Warner Brothers Consumer Products also reported a $6 billion in licensing revenues in 2011.
But that's not just for DC superhero.
Exactly.
Where Disney is just their superhero stuff is $6 billion.
Correct.
Where Warner Brothers is DC plus
Harry Potter, Hobbit, Looney Tunes, right, etc. The studio does not have a separate division or production house for DC properties as Disney does. Different executives and third-party partners have been responsible for shepherding underperformers like Green Lantern, Jonah Hex, and non-starters as Josh Whedon's Wonder Woman, or TV shows like Smallville and Arrow under different silos. Whereas Marvel, everything's under Marvel Studios.
Right.
For the most part. And Disney.
Which is smart.
Now, Guardians of the Galaxy, which is prime for the summer, and Josh Whedon's Avengers Age of Ultron is supposed to complete the studio's Phase 2 cycle of films. It would take multiple box office bombs to even begin to slow them down.
I don't see that happening either.
So, as far as I'm concerned, this is infamous. I reported that Captain America, The Winter Soldier was a dumb film. sorry, folks. I don't know what your beef is with Marvel or with Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
It's a great film.
It's a great film. A lot of praise. Go bark up another tree.
I mean, some of the story for me didn't jive, but overall, it's a great movie.
So they changed it up some. Who cares? It serves its purpose in the cinematic universe. Pay attention, as a reporter, you should be paying attention to the fact that the Marvel cinematic universe is not the same as the Marvel comic universe. There are some common threads, but each is their own.
Right.
So
I think a lot of the distaste comes from us older fans that are, grew up reading those storylines, right, in which they're talking about the movies, and then we go, wait a minute.
Right.
That's not the way it happened.
Well, let's take a look right now at from 2014 to 2018, what we got happening. The rest of this year, you got Guardians of the Galaxy from Marvel. You got Amazing Spider-Man 2 from Sony. Mm-hmm. X-Men Days of Future Past from Fox. Warner Brothers.
Nada.
2015, you got Avengers, Age of Ultron, and you got Ant-Man. Sony, you got nothing.
Nothing.
20th Century Fox, you've got the Fantastic Flop. Warner Brothers, you have nothing.
Nada.
2016, you got Captain America 3. Sony, you got Amazing Spider-Man 3. Fox, you got X-Men Apocalypse and the Wolverine sequel. Warner Brothers, you got Batman vs. Superman. So, 2016 might be more in favor of Fox with 2 coming out.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
2017, nothing really announced yet from Marvel, but we know there's stuff there.
I was going to say, I can't imagine that they're going to have something out.
Sony, Venom, and or Sinister Six. Sinister Six movie, 20th Century Fox, Fantastic Four 2, Flop 2. Warner Brothers, right now,
nothing.
2018, Marvel, still unannounced, so right now, nada. But we know there's plans through 2028, so leaving it blank, we know there's something coming. It's just unannounced. Sony Pictures, Amazing Spider-Man 4.
So imagine 2018, wouldn't that be Avengers 3?
Quite possibly. Sony, you got Amazing Spider-Man 4.
Mm-hmm.
20th Century Fox, I wouldn't be surprised if there's another X-Men. Or even possibly that...
Every 2 years. They're doing X-Men every 2 years or so.
Or possibly the X-Men Fantastic Flop crossover event.
Hmm.
Warner Brothers.
I can't imagine people care about that.
I don't see it happening. But, I mean, should Warner Brothers be concerned? I mean, you've got with five films apiece, Sony Pictures and 20th Century Fox have both become bolder with their official scheduling of the Marvel superhero movies than Disney and Marvel Studios, and Warner Brothers has only announced a single film.
Yeah.
So
not good for Warner Brothers.
No. And right now, it's almost not good for Disney until they start making the announcements.
Yeah.
So,
well, it seems like Warner Brothers needs to get the hype machine going.
Yeah. So, Marvel Studios, get on the ball. That's going to wrap it up for us this week. Where can they find you on Twitter?
It's at KAMARCY.
You can find me at Marvel Geeks on Twitter. And until next time, thank you for joining us. Thank you for hanging in with us. And we're out. And we're out.
This has been a BB Geeks production.